Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have a special guest up here. His name is Ray Buckner, and he is going to talk about his recording career as a member of a couple of groups and as a producer of music, too, and we're going to talk about the music he's doing today. So, first of all, Ray, thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Thanks, Bob.
So, first of all, I want to ask, what part of Chicago are you from?
South Side.
What specific area in the South Side?
Inglewood area and the Beverly area is where I'm at now.
So when you got started, you were in a group called the Buckner Brothers, is that right?
That's correct.
What blocks around were you living on around that time?
That's like 68th and Lowell.
Okay.
Emerald, Halsted, right next to Parker High School as well.
Okay. So was the Buckner Brothers the first group you sang with?
No, you're not going to believe this, but the first group that I actually sang with, the whole neighborhood was full of groups.
Okay. I don't know if I've talked to a lot of people from your neighborhood. Tell me some of the groups in your neighborhood.
The Emotions.
Okay.
And we all would sing and play baseball all day long. That was the thing. Singing and baseball.
Okay. So the Emotions played baseball too, you're saying?
And everybody played baseball and everybody would sing.
So did you know them back when they were the Hutchinson Sunbeams?
That was their original name.
Are there any other groups from your neighborhood that you remember or that recorded?
If there is a group, I can't remember their name right now. That was basically it, because I've always been a fan of the Emotions, even before they became popular.
So they started out before you, a little bit before you?
You're right. Matter of fact, it was them that brought me into the business.
Okay, well, how did they bring you into the business?
I tell them, other people, that I was a good writer and that me and my brothers could really sing good, and they got an audition for the same Twin Stack Records that they were with for us, and it worked out fine. We even recorded some things with them that was never released under Leo Austell.
He had that Twin Stacks label.
He had the Twin Stack label.
So how did you actually get started singing with your brothers?
My dad.
Okay.
I have to laugh because my dad would come home on Friday night after partying and having a good time, and like he would wake us up and say, "Hey, sing." He would blow a note in your ear, and you would have to blow the note back to him. If you could blow the note back to him, you got to stay up all night long on the weekend and sing and eat smoked fish. So that's who started.
How old were you when you started that?
I had to be at least 8 years old, at least.
Okay. And were you the oldest of your brothers?
Oh, no, I'm not the oldest. I'm the middle child. It's six boys, two girls.
Oh, so you had five brothers and two sisters.
That's right.
So you all grew up singing.
Everybody could sing.
And so did you ever sing, like, record anything before that Buckner Brothers record?
No, I never recorded anything.
So that Buckner Brothers record, were you in high school when it came out?
Yes, I was about a freshman in high school then.
And two of your brothers are also on the record?
Yeah, two of my brothers.
Two older brothers or younger brothers?
The younger ones, Clarence and Charles. Clarence's name is Akbar now. And I would make them, since I was older than both of these two guys, I would make them sing with me.
Okay.
I would make them sing. I'd make them rehearse, and they would do it. They didn't like it, but it all paid off because the gentleman, Burgess Gardner,
okay,
was the first producer, actually.
Yeah, he produced that record on the
Right. Stand
label. So the record that you did with your two brothers, at the time, did you call yourselves the Buckner Brothers?
This is exactly what we call ourselves.
And were you playing locally, like doing talent shows?
Yeah, we did. We did Times Square with Herb Kent. We was at Guys and Dolls. We were all around on the South Side doing stuff.
So you and your, what were the, what, I think you only said one of your brothers. What were the two brothers?
No, it was two of us. It was all three of us are blood brothers.
I know, but you only said the name of one of them.
Okay, the other one's name is Akbar, and then Sonay, whose name is originally Clarence, but that's the name that he goes by, Sonay.
Okay, so at the time it was Akbar and Clarence and Ray Buckner.
Right.
And did you sing lead on the records?
One. I did Love You From the Bottom of My Heart. I did the lead on that, but I wrote both compositions.
Okay, so, and you were in high school at the time, and you said that you got a record deal through the Emotions.
We did get a deal through the Emotions with Leo Austell and Twin Stacks.
Did the Emotions also go to Parker High School?
Yeah.
Were they older than you? Like, what year were they?
No, I'm older than all of them. I'm older than all of them. And if I can recall the ages, I can't really recall the ages, but I know I was older than them. Definitely.
So they weren't even in high school at the time that you were in high school?
Right.
So you ended up... So they had that record on Twin Stacks. I think Somebody Knew was the... And Brushfire were the two sort of hit sides that they got on Twin Stacks.
Right.
And you said that they took you to Leo Austell, who had the Twin Stacks label.
Right.
And he somehow got you this deal on the Sandla record label.
No, Leo didn't get the deal on Sandler. Burgess Gardner got the deal. Let me try to keep this...
I'm mixing up the information.
Yeah, you know, I get it mixed up, too. It ain't because I'm old. I've always been mixed up.
Okay.
But the first recording was done by Burgess Gardner, who discovered us from my brother Akbar. He was the first person to ever record us.
Yeah, because his name is on that Sandler record.
Sandler Records, right. He brought us to Sandler. When we left Sandla, the Emotions brought us to Twin Stack.
Okay.
And that's where I met Leo Austell, Hillary Johnson, and Tom Washington, who did the arrangement on the Twin Stack stuff.
Okay, well, let me play one side of the Buckner Brothers record called A Change Is Gonna Come, so people know what we're talking about.
Okay.
So this is your very first record that you released.
This is the first one.
And then we could talk some more. So this is the Buckner Brothers with A Change Is Gonna Come. The CD player is having issues. Let me try a different one. So who sings lead on The Change Is Gonna Come?
That's Sonny. Awesome lead vocalist.
Okay,
it's powerful.
Let me try it now.
I'm not glad.
something that just went on the air. Oh, so,
sorry,
you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. If you're just tuning in, I have Ray Buckner, member of the Buckner Brothers, who just did that song. I just played A Change Is Gonna Come, which came out on Sandla Records probably in the late 60s. Is that right?
That's correct.
So did that record get any play in Chicago?
It got a lot of play in Chicago. We were pretty hot in Chicago in the 60s.
So you and your two brothers had to go around doing like record hops and stuff
record
like that?
Record hops, sock hops, you know, the whole thing.
But you said you were only, you were like just starting high school at the time, and you said you were.
I had to be, if my memory is.
Because your brother, you said you guys sound a little, especially seeing Leader, you said, Lead on that, you said is a younger brother of yours.
He's a younger brother.
And yeah. He sounds a little older than 13.
Oh, man, he's a bad man.
So you just had he had an adult sounding voice.
He had an adult sounding voice, you know, and I may have the age a little mixed up because it was kind of, I'm trying to recall the exact ages, but anyway.
Do you remember what year you graduated high school?
I can't remember my name. Sometimes I can't remember how to get to home.
Okay. So that record got played in Chicago, and then you sing lead on the other side, which is called Love You From the Bottom of My Heart. And you said you wrote both records?
Both of them, yeah.
How did you get started writing music?
Because I couldn't play other music. I didn't know how to play other people's music. I wasn't good enough for that, so I just created my own stuff.
Did you play an instrument?
Yeah, piano, guitar.
So how did you? So you were just in high school and you managed to write those songs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just sit at the piano and write them, or
I just sit down and write? You know, that's what I'm gifted at is writing, and I always wanted to be a writer and a producer.
And Burgess Gardner did like the horns and stuff on him.
He did the arrangements.
Did you talk to him about the arrangements? What, like, did you tell him this is what we want, or did you just
no, no? Yeah, that's a nasty thing to do to an arranger.
Okay.
Give the arranger your writer. You write it. Give it to the arranger. Let him do what he do. Have faith in him. If you don't have no faith that he can do it, don't give it to him.
So when you wrote the song, were you able to read music?
Not when I first wrote those, I couldn't.
So how did you write? Like, I know you could write the lyrics down, obviously. How did you write the melody down for him to arrange?
We would tape it.
Oh, so you tape?
You would
you
tape
taped
it.
Yourself playing a guitar or something.
Whatever, right? You would tape it, give it to the arranger, and then let him do what he does.
Okay, and so Burgess was the guy that actually discovered you and took you to Sandla Records?
That is correct.
Do you remember, you said you're like your brother knew him or something? Do you remember how it happened?
Burgess taught at Yale School, I think it's Yale School or Harvard, Yale School on 71st Street. Anyway, my younger brother was one of his students.
Okay.
And my younger brother, Akbar, is the one that told Burgess that me and my brothers, we sing. So he gave him a tape, and the next thing we knew, it was on.
Okay, so, and then he found the people at the Sandla record label, whoever they were.
That's right.
You don't remember who ran the label?
I only remember one lady by the name of Miss Chapman. She was really in our corner 100%. She felt that we had that we could be a great talent, and that we could really make it in the music business, and I believe today we could have, and we did fine though, we did okay.
Yeah, well, that was a local hit. You said it got played.
It was a local hit. We got exposure, Times Square, Hurricane.
And you said you actually did some adult clubs too.
Yeah,
even though you
guys
were
guys and dolls.
Even though you guys were just starting younger, like grade school and high school at the time.
Yeah, but it was permissible. You know, we went out, we just go and perform.
And so did you record anything else for the Sandler label, or that was just that one, those two tracks they put them out?
That was all that we did on Sandler. And we left there and we went to Twin Stack.
Okay, so, and that was Leo Austell's label. And you said your neighborhood, your neighbors, the Emotions, took you to Leo Austell, and they were recording on Twin Stacks at the time.
That's right.
So do you remember what you recorded at Twin Stacks?
We recorded a lot of stuff there at Twin Stack. One of the things I want to say, you know, this is a perfect example of sometimes the grass look greener on the other side, but the water bill is higher.
Okay.
Okay? And that's what happened. We probably should have stayed with Sandler because there was a local company. They were just getting started. We were just getting started. But when we went over to Twin Stack, we never got anything released.
Because they had bigger acts like the Emotions.
Right. And it was like a lot of confusion. We recorded some really powerful songs. I wish I could get my hands on them now. But it was a great learning experience. We wind up stuck right there for the longest. And eventually that was the end of the Buckner Brothers.
So you soon after that, the next stuff you ended up recording was one of the records I was telling you got released as Buck and the 16th Movement, and then the other records got released as just Buck. So do you know how the first one you did was called Trust Me This Night and mm-hmm. Fool, Fool. Do you know how those ended up getting recorded?
Okay, that I believe was on Playboy label.
Yeah, well, the first one came out on the Supreme label, and it was re-released on Playboy.
Now, how that happened, I don't know. A lot of things happen in the music business that people that's involved as an artist, they're not very good business people.
Okay.
Okay, and that's a problem, you know.
So first of all, there's a group singing on this. Is it still you and your brothers, or is it a different set of people?
I got one brother, and at that time, Akbar had left the group and moved to New Orleans and took up knocking out people.
Okay, did he become a boxer? Okay.
Yeah, his name is Akbar Muhammad.
Okay.
As a fighter, and he enjoyed knocking people out, and he was a pretty good fighter. And still is.
He's still boxing today?
No, he's not still boxing.
He still can knock people out.
Well, yes, he can. But he's more of a coach like now.
Okay.
He's more of a coach now. You know, we all up in the age. I ain't gonna tell my age.
Your other brother, what was his name again?
Sonny.
How do you spell that?
Sonny. S-O-N. A.
Okay, Sonny Buckner right. is with you on this on the Buck record,
right?
And is there another member also?
That was it, and the rest of the guys were friends from high school that I went to school with. Knew Gene Patrick. He was from out of the neighborhood. King Johnson from out of the neighborhood, and Bunchy Green from out of the neighborhood. Because after the Buckner Brothers broke up, all I wanted to do was just write.
So you said you wanted to write. How did you end up recording?
Because the company I was working for said, okay, we need you to write a melody line for this track. And I would write it, and they sent it back and came back to me and said, hey, you got to sing this.
Okay.
I don't want to sing. I said, but you got to sing it. Sing it or you have no job.
So
that's how Buck came up.
Okay, so initially Buck happened because you were asked to write music and you were given a backing track and you wrote music to it and then it came back to you and they asked you to actually sing on it.
Right.
Okay, well, let me play, but you did cut some good records though.
Thank you so much.
So let me play the first record because it's a nice cut. This is Buck, and it also got released as Buck and the 16th Movement. But you don't know what the deal was with that either.
Nah, the label, the deal with that, I honestly don't know.
Because I know that I talked to somebody who was in a band in Chicago called the 16th Movement, but he didn't know about it either. So it's kind of funny that both Buck and the 16th Movement never heard of Buck and the 16th Movement.
No, I never heard of it. This is the first time ever hearing it. And
okay, well, let me play the record because it's a nice cut. This is called Trust Me This Night.
Make you so very blue.
Okay, that was just Buck with the first record from the group called Trust Me This Night. And if you're just tuning in, I have lead of Buck, Ray Buckner, who is in the studio talking about his career and the music he put out. So for that record, we were just talking about how it was you singing lead plus one of your brothers and then three other guys.
Right.
So is Buck just your name or was Buck the name of the group?
Buck was the name of the group, and like I say, what happened, when he gave me the tracks, asked me to rewrite melody lines, when we sent it back to, that was on Playboy label, quite sure it was, I was working for an independent production company.
Okay.
So when we got it back, they said, hey, we got a great shot again to deal with Playboy.
Was it, it was Lucindy Productions?
Right.
So how did... Yeah, I think it first came out on a tiny label like called Supreme Records, and then it came out on Playboy Records.
Okay.
So how did, you said that? So how did you get? You were just telling me how it got to Playboy Records.
Yeah, because when Lucindy brought the material to me and asked me to restructure the melody line, I went, done it, got it done, gave it back to Lucindy. Lucindy calls me about 3 or 4 days later and saying, hey, we got a big deal on the table. I said, what type of deal? With Playboy. But you got to sing. And they knew I didn't want to sing. I just wanted to write.
Okay.
So to keep being a company man, to keep from losing the deal, I said, okay, we'll sing. But said, we got to have a name of a group. I said, name them Buck. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. And I went in the neighborhood because, like I said, the neighborhood I was or was raised up in had plenty of talent. It was a pool of talent there. You could go get anything you wanted. Piano players, guitar players, people that could specialize in background vocals. So I just went and got guys out of the hood and said, come on, let's go. I got a deal on the tape here. Let's do this.
So they became part of Buck.
They became part of Buck.
So Playboy Records, can you talk about it? Because it was related to the magazine Playboy, right?
That's right.
And they
caught me.
And so Playboy Records was just starting in Chicago.
Just started in 1973, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's when your records came out.
Right, right. I was the first, and I'm very proud of this. I believe I was the first black artist, writer to sign with Playboy.
Okay.
I honestly believe that.
I think that's probably because you were with some of the early releases on the label.
Right. I was right at the top of the starting of that label. And I just went and got some guys out of the neighborhood and just threw it together real quick.
So Playboy Records was based in Chicago, right?
No, L.A. It was based in L.A.
Okay, they didn't have a Chicago... Where, did they have a Chicago office?
No, well, no Chicago office. They were based in L.A.
Okay.
And I would do all of my corresponding through Lucindy Records.
Okay, so did you sign a contract with them or was it just... Okay.
With Playboy.
So, and they ended up releasing four records on you. The first was Trust Me This Night and Come Closer. And the second was Heaven Help Us and It's Going to Be All Right.
Mm-hmm,
and I think one of those sides actually became a national hit, is that right?
Yeah. Which one, I'm not sure what it was called.
It's going to be all right.
Right. And that was also, I have to mention, that was wrote by me and a gentleman by the name of Paul Petratus. Excellent guitarist. Excellent. Paul's an excellent guitarist.
Do you know if he did anything else or wrote for other people?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
And one thing is the... On all the Playboy stuff, the strings are arranged by someone famous too, right?
Yeah, you got to realize those tracks. Whoever arranged those tracks, I never knew exactly who arranged them.
But I know Ben Wright's name is on most of them.
Oh, Ben definitely. Ben did all that. It's going to be all right. That was wrote between me, Paul Petratus, and arrangements were done by Benjamin Wright.
And Benjamin Wright has become. A famous arranger. He even does current R&B music.
Right up there with Quincy and everyone else.
Like you were telling me, he did stuff on like Justin Timberlake's album.
Yes, he has.
Okay, well, let me play It's Gonna Be All Right, because this is a really nice cut. And probably from around 1973 also. And we could talk some more. So this is Buck, released on Playboy Records. This track is called It's Gonna Be All Right. Okay, that was just Buck with a record they released on the Playboy Records label probably around 1973 called It's Gonna Be All Right. And you're just tuning in, I have Ray Buckner, lead singer of Buck, up here in the studio talking about his records that he recorded and wrote and produced. So that record, you were just telling me, was one of the first records that you did for Listening Productions, that it was actually you wrote the actual... the backing music, so you were able to get the music, like the backing track done the way you want it too, right?
But this one we just played?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one on I was on Cindy, that's on the Playboy label. That was actually wrote between me and Paul Petratus and arranged by Benjamin Wright. So we had the ability to be creative and free as we wanted to be. There was no limitation set on us and on this particular project here.
So is that the record that got the most play in Chicago too?
It got played nationally.
Okay.
You know, that hit Billboard, I think, at a number 10 slot in Billboard.
Okay.
Yeah, that was hot. It was hot. I loved that tone. That was hot.
Did you guys ever tour or do any TV shows or other cities?
Unfortunately, we had a bad case of big hits.
Okay. That happens a lot. Like, once people hit a hit, they start arguing.
Man, people, all of a sudden, man, people, they said money changed people. But no, success changed people. You know, because if I get some money, I'm just going to do what I like to do bigger and better. But it's the success, can you handle it? And a lot of people couldn't handle it. You know, they wanted to talk down to other people, and they just stuff now, and that's
So, I know they released one more record. Playboy released a total of 4 records on you, so you're saying that the group started arguing and you broke up.
I left. I got out.
Okay.
Oh, got out.
But so you guys never even, did you ever do any shows as Buck?
Yeah, we did shows. We was on our way to being pretty hot. But then, like I said, the success of hearing your record played all the time and you know it's been played nationally, interviews from out of L.A. by phone, you know, on you. You know, people were willing to know and would know more and more about you. The success went to people here, and people started arguing, and group members didn't want to listen no more. And, you know, I ain't with that. So, you know, bam.
But obviously before you started arguing, you did you tour ever as a group?
Only in the city.
Oh, so you just did local Chicago shows?
All we needed was one more big record, okay? And as a writer, I knew I could have created it.
Okay.
I know as a writer I could have created it, but I seen that was going to create a problem. So when our contract was up again, I left the group.
Okay.
I left. It was me that left. They remained with Playboy, and Playboy hired me to come in and produce them. But when they seen that I was going to be the producer, they didn't want no parts of it. So, you know.
Are you saying that the group members didn't want you producing them?
Right.
Because of the infighting that you had with the group. So they ended up not recording anything else for Playboy.
That was it. Because I knew I was doing all the writing. Only one thing with Paul Petratus. But basically, that's my niche. I can write.
So did you guys record anything else that was unreleased?
That was it.
And so you ended up later. So one of the things you did later was producing a group called Black Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
So did you? And it was you said it was your goal not to be a recording artist, but to become a writer.
A writer and producer is what I really wanted to do.
So how did you end up finally producing this group called Black Lightning?
Because when I left Playboy, I was a free agent. Lucindy Record Company, again, hooked me up with Black Lightning to supervise their recording.
So do you remember anything about the group Black Lightning, like where they were from or who they were?
They were from Chicago. King James was the lead vocals name, if I can remember. One of the guys' name was Teddy. That was so long ago, it's hard for me to remember, but they were hot. They were a really hot group, similar to like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So were they a band, like a self-contained band?
Yeah, they were bad. They were hot, man. They were really hot, you know, and it was a great experience for me. They were my first group producing, and they were good.
So they were a band that played around the city at the time.
Yeah, they were hot. They were hot.
And so did you know them before you ended up producing them?
No, I knew one of the guys' sister. I found that out later on. That I knew a young lady by the name of Connie. Her brother's name is Teddy. He played slide trombone.
But I really enjoyed working with them. They were hot.
So, and you said your production company hooked you up with them?
Right.
And they were on MCA Records, the record came out.
MCA Records, right.
Do you know how that happened, or was it just through the production company?
Through the production company.
Okay. So you ended up producing this. I think there might be more than one record, but I have this one record called Be That Way.
And Be That Way Sometime.
Yeah, and Cut My Hair.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of like a psychedelic sound, actually.
Yeah.
Like a psychedelic funk type sound. Did you have anything to do with the sound, or was just...
You know, that was the greatest job that I ever had in music, because all I had to do was sit down and just listen.
Okay.
You know, and just listen and say, okay, this is tight. Let's do it.
Okay.
You know, that's all I had to say. This is tight. Let's do it.
So can you talk about what you actually had to do as a producer? You just had to, like...
You got to listen. You got to listen. And see, I personally believe that when you're dealing with creative people, the less you say to them, the better product you're going to get.
Okay.
Let them do their thing. Let them do what they do. And if you got a problem with something, sit down and talk to them about it. But don't get them when they're afraid to be creative. Let them do what they do.
Okay. So do you remember where this was recorded?
Paul Serrano's.
Okay.
Okay.
So that was one of the most important studios in the city.
In the city. Yeah. It was the best. Paul Serrano was the man, you know, he's an ex-trumpet player, you know, so he had a good ear for music, too. So, yeah, that was the place to record.
Okay, well, let me play the Bees That Way side, and we could talk some more. So this is a group called Black Lightning, who were a local band that Ray produced for MCA Records, and this is called Bees That Way.
Be that way sometimes.
Okay, that was just a group called Black Lightning with a track called Bees That Way, and it was produced by Ray Buckner, who is up in here in the studio talking about his career. So that came out, I think, around 1978, something like that, mm-hmm. on MCA Records. So there was, did you ever write or produce anything else for anyone in the 70s?
No. Wait a minute. Oh, yes, I did. The Star Tales.
Okay.
Falling in Love with You, Girl.
Oh, that's a great cut.
Yeah.
I wish I would have brought that. Right.
Matter of fact, the Jazz Crusaders, man. I'm
doing, yeah, Burgess Gardner. It was his record label.
Right. And he also did an instrumental on that. That was a great cut. Yeah.
So you did that before the Bucks? Stuff?
Yeah, all before that.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to actually find David Martin of the group. I heard he's in Ohio now.
That's what I heard, too. Yeah.
But, that's a great thing you did, too. So, but other than that, was that the last music thing you did? Was the Bees That Way for Black Lightning?
Yes.
Okay. And did you try to do music for any longer, or what happened?
No, I just got disgusted and got out of it and just stayed out of it. Settled down, got a wife, got a job, took care of my family, raised my family, and just, I've been happy.
Okay.
But then, you know, like, it's come back to haunt me. So I'm back into the game. I came back in 2005, to be exact, with a group of people. Ed Moran, who's an excellent writer.
Okay.
Kevin Raspy, who's called the Blue Island Cowboy, guitarist. And we had a new project that we're working on called Living in New Orleans. That's the name of the new CD. It's not out yet. Hopefully after the date, it will be out.
And the new project is just under the name Ray Buckner.
Right.
And so I'm going to play a track from your new CD called Living in New Orleans.
That's correct.
Okay, well, let me play the track, and then we can talk a little bit more.
Okay, great.
So this is Ray Buckner from his new CD, which is coming out soon, and it is called Living in New Orleans.
I ain't going nowhere. Heavenly
Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just Ray Buckner from his new CD called Living in New Orleans, which is not out yet but will be out soon, and that was a blues record called Living in New Orleans. So thanks so much for coming down, Ray, to the studio and telling your story.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob.
Do you know when your CD is going to come out yet?
Yeah, it just came out tonight on WHBK.
Okay.
On Bob's show. Yes, indeed.
So I guess you could tell me when it comes out, where people can get it, and I'll tell
people.
Well,
I can tell them right now what they can give. If they would like to get a copy of it, they can call me at area code 773-230-5151. Area code 773-230-5151. 5151.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll definitely let people know.
I'd love to hear from them.
Okay. So one thing I wanted to mention was you have a musical family, too. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I got a history of family. I don't know if people remember. They should remember the song Monkey Time. That was done by Major Lance. Major Lance is a relative, is a cousin.
Okay.
And lately we have Jennifer Hudson, who's also a cousin and who's in the family. And we all went to the same training school, the same, with the family. We've been doing it for years.
Well, definitely a lot of great stuff came out of your family. So
yeah.
And do you have any last words for the audience?
Yeah. Just stay prayerful. Stay hopeful. Be good to life, and life will be good to you.
Okay, well, thanks so much for coming down.
Thank you so much.